Morning, everyone. Hey, I want to begin by telling you a couple of true stories. I'll protect their names, but these are true. And there's this 25-year-old lab tech, graduated from college in 2009. And when he graduated with $90,000 in student loans. And it takes half of his income to just pay back what he owes on his student loans. And because of that, he has to live with some relatives, can't afford a place of his own. He never realized what would happen with taking those loans and how it would affect what he'd always dreamed of as a normal life. And so he pretty much has assumed, because of his financial situation, that he's not going to be able to buy a home, doesn't even plan on getting married or having kids, at least at this point in his life. And then there's this couple. They have a six-figure income together, and yet their bills are more than what they make. You go, what? How's that happen? They've got two kids, and their kids come first. That's not abnormal. They want the very best for their kids, all the activities, sports and clothes and whatever, you know. And they've maxed out their credit cards to over $20,000. Their mortgage payment is $2,300 a month, and they're underwater. Can't get out of it, at least not anytime soon. They've got a new van and a new car, totaling $750 a month payment. It's put them in a bind. So they've had to do things like they can't go out and pay for haircuts anymore. They cut their own hair. Wife doesn't have the opportunity to dye her gray hair anymore. That's tragedy. Don't eat out anymore. Husband's concerned that he's going to have to take a second job just to make ends meet, but he's worried about his stamina and his health taking on that extra responsibility. Not even counting what that might do to their family life. And then there's this young man who inherited $500,000, and he burned through it in 5 months. You know, the National Endowment for Financial Education says that 70% of people who get a windfall, whether it's a big lottery earning or an inheritance, 70% of people who get this big income are bankrupt within just a few years. Here's this young man who had all this money and it's gone, and it's heartbreaking. Now, these aren't just stories out there. These are our stories. These are the struggles that we face. We are challenged by financial issues in so many different ways, and it just weighs on our hearts. And sometimes our financial difficulties aren't all our fault. There can be other people in our life that make bad decisions, and then that affects us. Or there can be folks in our family who have an addiction, and that can mess up our finances, or even be abandoned by someone who not only had part of the income, but maybe even took some of our money with them. Our health can change. You know, we can just unexpectedly lose our health and therefore lose our job or not be able to work full time, or we can be downsized in a company, no fault of our own, or we can be in an accident. I mean, there can be a zillion things that can happen that are outside of ourselves. But whether we made bad decisions, whether others in our lives made bad decisions, the result's the same, is that it brings incredible heartache, brings incredible pain and struggle to our heart. Sometimes when we get in that situation, we think, okay, I got to fix this. I got to get an extra job, get a second job. Or maybe, you know, maybe if I work hard, I'll get a promotion. Or maybe I need to go back to school so I can get a job that pays more. Or sometimes we just come and we pray this prayer. God, give me a break. Ever prayed that prayer? I have. God, just give me a break. I just need a break. Okay, so as I've begun this, I've probably depressed half of you. It's a gray day outside. We can make it gray in here. You know, we just keep it going. But the fact is, God wants better for us. And there is a different way. There is a way out. See, our problems, our financial problems, are deeper than dollars. it's really not about just a lack of dollars. Our financial problems actually have their root in our heart. That's really where the issue resides. So here's the point that I want to make today. To fix your money problem, fix your heart problem. Ultimately, to fix our money problem, we have to fix our heart problem. We have to give attention to our heart first. There's some practical things we need to do for sure. But even those practical things come back to an issue of the heart. You see, no matter where it is in life, our decisions, our attitudes, and then the actions that flow from all of that, that all flows from our heart. And that's true in our financial experience as well. Our financial decisions, our attitudes towards money and things, the things that we do, that all ultimately flows out of our heart. And that's why we're doing this series, At Risk. What's at risk? Our heart. Our heart's at risk. And the foundation for this whole series is the wisdom that God gives us that's found in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. For the last couple weeks, we've encouraged you to memorize this verse. It's a profound verse. It's Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. And this is what God says in that proverb. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Above all else, guard your heart, because everything you do flows from your heart. Your heart, in case you missed the last 2 weeks, your heart is what I call your inside you. That's everything inside of you. Your thinking, your thoughts, your feelings, your emotions, your beliefs, your character, your desires, your values, all that's inside of you. And what God says is this: this is how life works. Everything flows from the inside out. Now, for sure, things out here affect us, but ultimately, our behaviors, our decisions, our actions flow from the inside out. And that includes how we deal with money and possessions and everything else. And so what we want to do in this series and what we're going to do today is we want to look at how do we protect our heart, particularly in the context of money and finances. Now, last week, Pastor Nick preached about an area where we're all vulnerable in our hearts. And Pastor Nick talked about relationships and in particular sex. Didn't Nick do a great job last week if you were here? If you weren't here and you didn't hear him, you want to watch it online because Nick threw Pastor Roger and I under the bus last week. And you don't want to miss that. Did a great job. And we had to speak last week about the issue, particularly of sex, because that's an area where our heart needs to be guarded. It's an area where our heart's in danger. And today, there's an area that is equally as powerful, and it's the issue of money and finances and possessions. Some of us may not struggle as much with the area of sex, but we probably do with the area of money. Money and possessions have the power to ruin and destroy our heart. It's so significant that we have to talk about it as well today. Do you know that the average household in the United States is carrying $16,000 of credit card debt? That's average. So if you're like me and you have zero, that means somebody else has $32,000. And that doesn't count car loans and student loans and other forms of consumer debt. And so what happens is that we're in a world, we're in a culture where we feel the incredible pressure from and stress from our financial challenges, and it messes up our heart. And so my purpose today is not to pour guilt, not to pour shame, because maybe you made some bad decisions in the past. That's not helpful. What I want us to do is, how do we create and protect a good heart? That's what God wants for us. So we've got to talk about money. Now, some of you I know right now are skeptical. I'm in church. Here's a pastor talking about money. Of course. And some of you probably maybe brought guests or friends today, and you're going, no, not today. Why did he have to talk about this today? Really? Come on. I get it. I understand. But I want you to notice a couple things. First of all, notice that you already gave your offering. That was planned. That was intentional. And I want you to know something else. And I know there are pastors around the country that will never say this, but I'm proud to say this. Our church doesn't need your money. What I mean is, we're in a really good place financially because you're all generous. And that's really good. We're in a good place. So this message is not because our church needs your money. And it for sure isn't because God needs your money. You know what? God's not needy. God's not broke. So this isn't about our church's need. This isn't about God's need. This is about our need. Because finances affect our heart affects everything about our life, and we've got to address this. There's only one reason why we're talking about this, that God wants you to protect your heart. And you have to protect your heart when it comes to money and possessions and finances. And the Bible talks about money and possessions all the time. Do you know that the Bible talks about money and possessions more than it talks about prayer? More than it talks about faith, more than it talks about heaven, and more than it talks about hell. Because it's that important. Over 10% of what Jesus taught about, over 10% of what Jesus taught about was about money and possessions. Because it's that important for the sake of our heart, the sake of our life. And so we've got to look at it. So that's why we're doing this series. That's why we're having this message, because we need to be able to set some guardrails that'll protect our heart when it comes to money and finances and possessions. Now, what I want you to get is I want you to get the connection between our heart and money. It's critical we get this connection. Take your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 6. Page 679 in the Bibles in the seats in front of you. Matthew chapter 6. Turn on your device. And Matthew chapter 6, we're going to start in verse 21. Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. This is Jesus speaking. Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, treasure is what's important to us, what's valuable to us, what's significant to us. Where your treasure is, Jesus is just observing a spiritual fact, a spiritual law, if you would, that where your treasure is, whatever's important, whatever's valuable, that's where your heart is. Whatever you consider to be your treasure, that will control and capture your heart. You can't violate that principle. Whatever is so important to you, that will control and influence your heart. And so the reality is, if that's the case, you better know what your treasure is, because it's going to affect your heart, which shapes your life. It's as simple as that. Now Jesus goes on, look at verse 24. Notice what he says, just go down a couple more verses. He says, and all of this is tied together. He says, no one can serve two masters. He jumps into this idea of masters because whatever our treasure is, that will be our master. That will control, that will influence, that will capture our heart. So he says, no one can have two masters. You will either hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. You can't do it. Your heart's going to be loyal to one primarily. God or the things of this world, money, possessions, stuff. And we need to know and understand who really has the primary influence in my heart. Who or what is the Lord of my heart? It's critical that we know and that we understand that, because that's going to make all the difference. And so we've got to look and say, am I allowing money, possession, stuff, comfort, pleasure, whatever it is, am I letting that really take the primary place in my heart, in my life? Or am I truly trusting God and giving him first place as the Lord of my life? It matters to our heart what our treasure is. And what's mastering us, who we're devoted to, what we're loyal to. And so if we want to fix our money problem, we got to fix our heart problem. We got to look at what's going on in our heart. I think there are three major biblical practical areas that we need to look at to set guardrails that'll protect our heart when it comes to money and possessions. There's certainly probably more, but I want to just focus today on three critical areas, maybe the most important areas that we need to look at if we're going to guard our hearts. Because remember, what we're trying to do is protect our heart so that Jesus is Lord on our in our heart, and not these other things which always try to creep in and take over and influence us. And how do we protect our heart for Jesus? That's what we're looking at. And there's three basic things. I call these guardrails. These are guardrails I practice. I've tried them. They work. And what I want you to understand is we look at them, that the goal of these guardrails is not primarily to put you in a good place financially. Now, that will result, but that's not the goal. The goal is to protect our heart. That's the real goal, to protect our heart so that God really has primary influence in our lives. So let's look at these. The first one, I just simply used a one-word verb, give. The first guardrail is all about learning to be a generous giver. And I know already, I know the risk. You go, oh, here he goes again. I know how in our culture we're jaded when the church, when a pastor talks about giving. There's so much out there. It's real. That's where churches and pastors have lacked integrity when it comes to not only how they use money, but then even talking about money and the way in which they do. And again, I'm reminding you, what I love about our church is our church has absolute integrity when it comes to money. And this is not about the need of our church. This is about our need. And I will be a bad pastor. I will be a bad teacher if I don't address this, because it's that powerful in our lives. And so what I'm saying now is that this isn't about our church's need. This isn't about God's need. We need to give. The reason we need to give is because that's what's best for us. You see, here's the principle. We are all tempted by greed. I'm going to come back to that and unpack that more. And giving is the greatest antidote to greed. There is no better antidote to greed than giving. That's why this is first. This is the most powerful thing that we can do to protect our heart, to protect our heart from greed. Now, what do we mean by greed? And greed is all, by the way, is all about the heart. Greed is this situation that we get into when we're just obsessed with stuff. Let me illustrate it with a child. We've probably all seen this. I have the best grandchild in the whole world. Nobody can debate that. And when our granddaughter is just with grandma and I, man, we have a ball and she's got all of her toys, and grandparents have the divine right of spoiling their kids with lots of toys. But then if other kids come into the house, whoa. Where did this child come from? All of a sudden, it's mine. All of a sudden, this crazy thing happens. She can actually get a little ugly. Because all of a sudden, she's got closed hands. And listen to this. Everything flows from the inside out. When our hands are closed, our hearts are closed. And the difference between a five-year-old and whatever age you are is just the size and price of our toys. You see, we're so naturally tempted to hold on to what's mine and protect what's mine, which is really an indicator of a closed heart. It's a heart issue. So how do we combat this thing called greed, which is so prevalent? How do we protect our heart? There's one clear path to that. There's really only one path to that, and that's to be a generous giver. to give to God, to give to others in need, whatever it is. It's as we generously give, that's the way that we protect our heart. And if truly the real God is having primary influence our heart, then the real God is always a generous God. That's how he shapes our heart. A generous God shapes a generous heart. And then it flows out naturally in the behavior of giving. It's critical that we look at our heart, because our heart has to be open to God. And when it's open to God, it's open to others. Jesus talks about this issue of the heart. Talks about it very, very clearly, and we need to look at it. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 12. It's on page 727 in the Bibles in the seats in front of you. Listen to how Jesus speaks about this issue of greed, which is an issue of the heart. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. Then he said to them, watch out. I don't know the exact tone he said that with that day. I'm still counting. I've told you this. I'm counting us someday going to heaven, and we get to actually see this on video. The whole heavens will be a big screen. Watch out. I think Jesus said this with emphasis. Watch out, folks. What is he going to say? Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. Watch out. Be on your guard. That's why we're talking about guardrails in this series. We've got to guard our heart. Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. And greed is about money. It's about possessions. It's also about our time. We can be greedy with our time. We can be greedy with our attention. We can be greedy with our love. Watch out for all kinds of greed, where you want to hold it to yourself, keeping an abundance for yourself, because it will damage your heart. And so we've got to attack greed by choosing to be generous givers. Okay, so that's the first one. That's number one. We trust God in our giving. We rely on him. And here's how this guard works out for me. I've just made the decision. I am not going to let stuff, money, have control in my life. I'm not going to let it happen. And one of the ways that I'm going to do that is I'm going to take God at his word that the starting point for my wife and I is to give him the very first 10% of what we make. Now we've been able to grow that over the years, but we want to give him first. We want to give never less than 10% and more, and then be satisfied with living with what's left. Now, that's the first one, give. Second one, save. We give, that's an incredible guardrail, and then we save. Now, maybe save surprise you, because actually for some of us, savings could be a form of greed, but that's not what this is about. This is about the fact that things will come up in our life, and you can plan on it. A number of years ago, it was about 10 years ago, I actually sat down and I said, okay, my house is just about 20 years old. My roof isn't going to last forever. In Arizona, a 20-year roof is great. But I was on borrowed time. And sure enough, about 3 years later, I had to replace the roof. I knew that was coming. I didn't know the exact year. I didn't know the exact time. I didn't know what windstorm would rip off the shingles. But I knew that was coming. And then there's the unexpected. We can get sick. We can lose a job. We can lose our health insurance. We can get in an accident. Or the wind can blow the roof off the house and it's a new roof. We don't know. And so we save for the planned things that are coming and the unexpected. We expect the unexpected. And here's what happens. If we have savings, then we don't worry. That's an issue of the heart. We're not anxious. When those things come, it's no big deal. And when we have savings and we're not anxious and worried about what we don't know that'll happen and what we know will happen, then we're also freer to give. It's an incredibly powerful tool that we need to have in our life. Our church practices both of these, giving and savings. We budget every year to give away 10% automatically as a church. Now, we actually give much more than that. Last year, it worked out to be about 18% that we gave away. And as a church, we intend to save because things happen. Last summer, one of our air conditioners broke. They're not cheap. We have to replace them. Things need to be repaired and fixed. So we have savings. These are just help us stay in a really good, healthy place. And then when we practice them ourselves, it really does work. I'm at the stage in my life, and I say that because we're all different. We're all at a different stage. Some of you are just beginning. Some of you are already retired, and there's everything in between. I'm at the stage in my life, and Jolene and I have been working on this long enough that we began at 10%, and we've been able to grow that giving. And then we, because of where we're at in our life and because we've not always been in jobs where we've had good retirement, we're trying to save as much as we can. And right now we've worked at working up to saving 10% of our income. So what we're doing right now is that we are learning to live on about 70% of our income. We have created our lifestyle around that 70%. And that leads to the third category, the third area, contentment. See, contentment, and I realize the other two were verbs. This one isn't a verb. Forgive me. For those of you who like things nice and clean, I couldn't find a better word. Contentment. If we give generously, and we save, then we learn to live on what's left, and that requires our heart to be content, really content with what's left. To really be okay with what's left. And see, that's exactly what Jesus asked us to pray about. Remember when he taught us how to pray, he said, give us this day our daily bread. Help me to be content with what I need for today and be absolutely content with that. And that only happens when we have, and I'm going to use a number of qualifiers, that only can happen, contentment, a content heart, when we have a real, living relationship with God. See, when we really experience God, of our Heavenly Father who is so crazy in love with us, it's then that we discover that He's the one that can fill what the deepest longings we have that nothing else can ever fulfill. Only He can fill what we're actually looking for when we want stuff, when we want comfort, when we're looking to be satisfied and happy. God will always be more than more stuff. God will always be more than more stuff. You see, part of what the temptation for money and possessions and stuff and experiences, part of the temptation of that is that somehow that's going to really make life good. You see, money and possessions and experiences, they always overpromise and underdeliver. They always overpromise and underdeliver. But God is the only one capable of filling all of our needs completely and fully. There is no one else who can do it. So it's a heart issue. Am I really content with my relationship with God? Now I want to give you two practical ways to look at contentment. It's ultimately an issue of the heart. But there's two practical things that can help us. And the first is this, to help us stay in the place of contentment, to protect our heart, to be content. And the first is that we refuse to overspend. I give, I save, I got this much left, I'm not going to spend more than that, period. That's why some people need to do as a budget. Some people can do that intuitively and they got it figured out. Sometimes we need to put, you know, pen and paper or computer spreadsheets to make it actually work out, to know this is what I have left. I've got to budget it out so that I don't overspend. It's critical that we learn to live within our means. And the second one is we refuse to go into debt. So see, that's just a part of that. I refuse to go into debt because that means I'm borrowing on tomorrow for something I want now and today. something today in a consumer context that's not going to last forever, that's not going to appreciate in value. It's not a good investment. And that's what puts my heart in danger, because now I feel the stress and the pressure and the anxiety and the worry and the fear. That's not good for our heart. And so we refuse to overspend. We refuse to go into debt. These are all heart matters. And I'm just suggesting some guardrails that'll protect our heart. And as I'm talking about these, if you find yourself in this place, go, man, I'm lost. I don't know how to do this. Ask for help. A good heart always asks for help. If you don't know how to do a budget, if you're in debt and you want to know how to get out of debt, we've got some financial counselors at no charge who will help you do that. You just got to ask. We have a class that we offer. It's called Financial Peace University, that will walk you through all of this stuff, understanding how we deal with these practical matters, but also our heart. Now that class has already started this spring. Another one will start in August. And if you don't want to wait until August, that we've got a way that you can do a self-study with that in Financial Peace University. Or that's why we're also encouraging you to do this additional study. It's called Guardrails. It parallels what we're doing here in the auditorium. Our small groups are doing this guardrail study. I want to encourage you to do it. There are groups that are open and you can do that, or you can start a group. We'll help you do that. If you need any of this help, you need financial counseling, if you want to find out about Financial Peace University, if you want to be a part of or lead a guardrails group, we can help you with all that. All you need to do is go to Next Step. You'll see the tent out off the courtyard, and they'll help you with any of those things. Ask for help. So here's the three key foundational, the critical guardrails to protect our heart when it comes to money and finances. Give. Give to God first. Give generously. Begin with the 10% and then trust God. Save. Save for emergencies. Save for the things you know are going to come. That's an incredible way to protect your heart. And then last, but certainly not least, be content. Embrace contentment. Be satisfied with what you have, not with what you don't have. Don't buy the lie that there are other things that are somehow going to fulfill that dissatisfaction, that discontent that you struggle with. And I want to finish with one more scripture, because not so much because this gives us more instruction, but because it gives us encouragement. It's found in Hebrews chapter 13. It's page 845 in the Bibles on the seat in front of you. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Listen to these words. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have. Because, and it's the because that's so important, because God has said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Keep yourselves free from the love of money. Don't let money take control of your heart. Be content, trusting God. Why? Because he will never forsake you. He will never leave you. He will never abandon you. He will be with you. He will be in you. He will help you. He is the one who fills our heart and keeps us in that safe place. Trust him in every way. And so maybe you've just given up when it comes to finances. Every time you look at your bills, you just get depressed. It feels hopeless. God offers a way of freedom. And it starts in the heart. It always starts in the heart. Start with one guardrail. Don't try to do them all at once. Start with giving. Start with saving. Start with being content. Pick a guardrail and start and develop that. And then watch God and trust God and watch him come through in an incredible way. I just talked to a family, been here just a few weeks. They made the decision that they were going to start giving 10%. They were going to do it online. And as I was talking to them, they said, it's amazing how just in a few weeks, things have already begun to change in our family. And as I'm watching them, I'm realizing what's really changing is their heart has been changing. It all begins with the heart. So today is not really about money. It's about our heart. Is Jesus really Lord of your heart? Is Jesus really the one who's captivated your heart? Because see, if we want to fix our money problems, we fix our heart problem. Let him have all of your heart.